Now, our next talk here in Brahim is by Rabble. Rabble is a seasoned hacker and open source enthusiast and tech instigator who has for decades been building and breaking different systems with a focus on community, autonomy, and decentralization. And today he is here to talk to us about four freedoms of social media protocols. Please welcome with a round of applause.
Thank you. I've been coming to this camp for 24 years, and in that time, we've seen the impact of the technology that we've been building grow, and we've seen the idea that anyone could have a voice and they could use technology to connect to the world grow in a transformational way. And so much of what we built in that work has been based on the foundation of free software. But what we have today in the world of social media is fundamentally lacking. And so over the last year, I've been thinking about what is happening with social media, what is happening with emerging protocols, what Blue Sky is attempting to accomplish, and how it could potentially go wrong in the same way that the Web 2.0 and the early social media projects went wrong. And so this is a proposal that I have been floating to try and understand what we should be advocating for. So what does social media freedom mean? And that's sort of a, you know, what does it mean to say that this is a space that we control? What does it mean when our lives online have less freedom than we would have in a garden club? We would never accept the kind of authoritarianism in our day-to-day lives where you don't even know the rules. You don't know whether or not you're going to have a voice. Your account, your name itself and your connection to everyone can be taken away at a moment's notice. And that is something that I think we need to think about. And you know, it's why so much of people in this community have built out Mastodon. It's why so much have worked on social media protocols. But the technical work that we do is very detailed. And I think that if we're going to build a larger movement around this, we really need to condense things down. In the same way that Stallman condensed down all the complicated ideas around software into the, you know, four freedoms. We have a world today where we're having slow erosion of these freedoms online. It's not like it happens all at once. It happens over time in little bits here and there and everywhere. And so in order for us to defend against that, we need something very clear. And this is very similar to what happened with the GPL and free software licenses, where many companies said, well, I haven't, you know, a free software compatible license, or you know, a shared source license, and or we're using GPL code, but we're not releasing the code. There was a community of people that said these are things that you fundamentally can do, and we don't have that so much. We have a lot of complaining about what goes on in social media, but we don't have a clear idea of what we want to build. And I think that one of the reasons we're having difficulty is that we have made a mistake. We have built up an idea that we should be fighting just about your data and just about privacy. And, you know, I am a privacy advocate. I believe in protecting my own data. I believe in privacy and encrypting my communications. But when you go out to the world and you offer people a candy bar in exchange for their home address, most people would take it. The level at which people are valuing their own privacy is very low. And we have spent decades trying to educate people. And it's worked a little bit, but the frameworks aren't right. And I think we need to rethink what we're advocating for. And I think that the best sort of way of understanding how things could go poorly is looking at the Twitter effect. Twitter, in particular, is a platform that has spawned lots and lots of attempts at spin-offs because people were upset about it. And you know, some of these I like, some of these I hate, but every time Twitter did something terrible to sort of lock down its ecosystem and alienate its users, we as the technology community built some new alternative. And in specifically, there were a few moments in 2012 where we started to get ActivityPub and ActivityStreams, in 2018 when the API completely dropped down and we got Mastodon, and then in 2023 when we saw Elon Musk take over and a huge exodus leave. But users don't leave for rational reasons. Users don't make clear, rational decisions. There was a moment last year when a couple million people quit Twitter and joined Blue Sky because Twitter was going to make blocks public. But the thing is, blocks are public on Blue Sky. Like, they said they were going because of the block issue, but really what it was about was social dynamics and finding a place that you feel comfortable and finding a place that you thought might be supporting you. But they can't nail it down. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about how we can adapt the free software model to this, how we can learn from free software, where we can put some concrete things that we demand. And, you know, there's a world of people who don't like the Free Software Foundation. That's why we have the term open source. They were trying to make it more business friendly, less strident. But who of us remembers the OSI, like 8 or 9 points of what makes an open source license? I don't, but I do remember the four freedoms of the Free Software Foundation. So what are they? You know, can you run the program for any purpose? Do you have the freedom to study the program and modify it? Do you have the freedom to redistribute copies? And can people continue to redistribute the copies you modify? It's that simple. And it works for software. And it's given us the entire world that we work in today. So I said, well, what is the difference in there? What would they do? And I did a first tag at this, which is, you know, the freedom of the code. Can you see the source code of the software you use? Can you get freedom to participate in it? In the governance of it? Do you get freedom of ownership? Is it your name and your data, your connections? Do you get freedom of self-governance? Do you get to choose what the rules are? Do you get to interoperate, or are they walled gardens? And do you have the freedom of privacy? And I went and I did this and tried to iterate on it, and it felt too complicated, too much like OSI. And then I said, you know, if it's just the freedom to connect, the freedom to move between systems, the freedom to self-govern, and the freedom to understand your algorithms, because the first version didn't have the algorithms. And then I sat down and I said, maybe I shouldn't just come out this my own and figure this out. So I started talking to people. And I talked to a bunch of people. I sat down, I talked to Jack Dorsey. I talked to the CEOs of Medium and Substack, companies that are trying to be social media platforms that are a little bit more open, a little bit more protecting the users. I talked to journalists. I talked to Mike Masnick, who wrote the essay Protocols Not Platforms and is on the board of Blue Sky, and Taylor Lawrence, who studied this stuff. And through those conversations in this podcast I've been running, I looked at the problems. You know, I talked to Yoel Roth, who ran trust and safety at Twitter, and then studied how trust and safety should work on the Fediverse. And I came up with this list. And this isn't maybe the right list, and I think it should be evolved, and I want to hear people's ideas. But then we need 5 essential freedoms. We need the right to privacy and security, ownership of your own identity and your content, and connections to people, interoperability and the right to exit on your own terms without asking for permission. You need algorithmic control and transparency and self-governance. These are the fundamental things that I think we should be asking, and not asking what is the algorithm of Blue Sky and whether or not you should use Mastodon or Nostr or Blue Sky or Farcaster or whatever the hell else you're thinking of. So privacy. This is what lets us use these systems without permission. This is what lets us use the system without giving a government ID. This is what lets us use these systems without verifying our age, because we have the right to use it with our own privacy. And that the people who are running software and systems for us, the servers, they have security obligations to protect our privacy and protect our security. Ownership. This is a bit of a weird concept, but when you're on Instagram, It's like you're in a shopping mall and you have no rights to your space. You have no rights to what you're doing. And they can take it all away at a moment's notice. And that's why people make these alternate accounts and they try and get people off these platforms. But if you own your name, like you own a domain name, if you own your content, then you can be responsible for it and you can choose where to take it. Interoperability, this is something that Cory Doctorow talks about a lot, which is the idea that these systems are not walled off. And we see this with the open social protocols. You can go on Blue Sky and follow someone from Threads, which is sort of open. You can go back and forth between Mastodon and Blue Sky and Nostr and these other protocols, and you can follow people and their data can travel between them. And each one works a little bit differently, but you can move between them. If you don't like your Fediverse server, you can leave, and the Fediverse server is going to point to you to the right place. Now, they have no technical obligation to do that. We have to enforce that with social obligation and social norms. And we need algorithmic control and transparency. Algorithms are here. We can't accept them. We can't make them go away. We can't assume they don't exist. Even reverse chronological feeds are an algorithm. And every time we've done studies about how people use software, the moment we take away algorithms and just give them something that is not algorithmic, people go and use other software that has algorithms. So we need them. We need them to build audiences. We need to protect people. But we need them in things that we can control. We need to be able to decide who is providing this, what are they optimizing for, instead of just optimizing for one particular kind of addictive behavior. You see this right now where you're looking at it, you're scrolling through a feed, and you have to like swipe past things and not engage in kind of clickbait things, because you know the moment you engage in something, you'll see more and more of that stuff. You should be able to choose whether or not that happens. And most importantly, self-governance. We need to be able to decide the rules of the systems we have. And that is, it sounds like a crazy idea that we don't have that. Like, you don't know what the Facebook rules are. We don't know what the Twitter rules are. We don't know what even something like Medium or Substack or Reddit, we don't know what the rules are. We don't know how they make decisions, but we do know that they're making decisions in sub-seconds, and they're making decisions based on the needs of the algorithms, not the users. We have no say in it. It's an authoritarian nightmare. So how do we get here? Like, I came to the idea of these five sort of fundamental rights, freedoms that we should be demanding, because I saw things like, you know, Christine Weber wrote a 500 tweet storm describing why she thought that Blue Sky wasn't the open news thing. Like, we have these long, in-depth debates about how all these things work and which one is the right one, and users don't understand. Users are sitting there leaving Twitter for Blue Sky because Twitter adopted a feature of Blue Sky. And so if we can have some fundamental rights, if we can have some fundamental clearings, then we can tell people, do these things. But we can also hold these organizations to account. And I think this is really important. The team that is leading Blue Sky, Jay Graber, Paul Frazee, Brian and Y, and they are all really good people who have been working in free software for decades. But they're going to face a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure from governments, a lot of pressure from investors, a lot of pressure from their users themselves. And so if we can put a stake in the ground and say, these are the fundamental things that you agree to, the reason you're doing it, and it is the reason they're doing it, then they have something to push back again when people try and get them to slowly erode these rights. We need to build a movement. Just like we built a movement around free software, we need to build a movement around a better way of building. And that it is not one app, you know, is not Blue Sky versus Mastodon, but instead is all of us are part of Team Open, where we are saying these are the things that we demand of social media. You know, and we need to realize that there's a fundamental danger going on right now. We see it with the OSA in the UK, where all of a sudden we are losing our rights to use social media, to use websites, to use applications anonymously. And they say, well, you know, face recognition. But we all know that you can take anyone's face recognition and very quickly figure out who they are, except for a few of you who have been amazingly good at keeping your faces off the internet. But it's really important to know that, like, this is being driven by a moral panic. Every single time we have a new medium of communication, we get the same critiques. We're concerned about the mental health of young women. We're concerned about the morals of kids. We're concerned about them being exposed to things. You know what that was said about? The bicycle. They were talking about the mental health crises that were destroying young people because they had a bicycle. And they said the same thing about comic books and novels. And so each of these things, it's not an accident, these moral panics. These moral panics are an attempt by conservative elements in society to undermine the tools of changing society. The reason they were upset about young women riding the bicycle is because it gave them agency. They could get up and they could leave their house and they could go wherever the hell they wanted to. And it was a huge crisis in the 1880s and 1890s. They were very, very upset at the freedom that the bicycle gave. And so that is why they are really upset about the mental health of youth today on social media. They say the same things they've said about every single medium of communication going back to the Gutenberg Press. And when we realize that it's not about the specifics, but there are things we should advocate for, there is a better world. Like a world in which a few corporations control what speech is allowed is not the world we were trying to build. So what is the path forward? Well, it's to come to places like this. It's to have discussions about what we're doing. It's to say, what is the framework that we should be using? Is a Bill of Rights the right thing? How do we define what we're fighting for? How do we build something that people can do it? We need to create assessment tools so that we can look at these tools, these platforms, and say, are they the right things? You know, when Mastodon first launched, you couldn't migrate your account from one server to another. But there are now Fediverse proposals that really improve the ability of user migration. IFTTOS is actually providing clear ideas about trust and safety on the Fediverse. That didn't exist a couple years ago. We need to educate users so they can know what they're fighting for. So we have the equivalent of, this is a GPL compatible license. This is the equivalent of a fair trade or organic. These are platforms and systems that you can trust. And we need to advocate for change. I have the campaign up here at rights.social. I wrote an essay about it on Tech Dirt, advocating for it, and published it on Medium and Substack and all these other places. So I encourage you to go to rights.social. Listen to my podcast. It feels weird promoting a podcast. It's new. But it's about having these hard discussions about how the hell we got here and where are we going with it. And I believe I do have a couple minutes for questions. So thank you very much.
So I'll start while you think about questions. I do have a question as well. Really enjoyed your talk. Thank you about that. So how do we get people to care, the users, about, I care, these people care, but the majority of users?
So I think we need to look at where it is affecting them. So I have friends who are sex workers, and they constantly are having their Instagram accounts taken down if they mention that they have an OnlyFans account. So there's places where you can see the unfairness and you're like, this is the example of why we need these rights. And I think you need to open it up in things they are already upset about. So the the problem with the privacy conversation is we care about it, but you don't see it in your day-to-day life. It's like this sort of out there thing. But if your account gets banned, if you get all of a sudden you get shadow banned, or you know something happens on these platforms, then you fare. So you use the things that are coming up in people's lives.
Thank you. Microphone, please.
Oh, hello. Yeah. I was at the discussion at the latest CCC Congress in December, and we discussed the Fediverse, and someone mentioned that she thought the Fediverse should not be fascism should be eliminated from the Fediverse. And I was like, well, should politics be involved? Even though we all disagree with fascism, should that be sort of banned from Fediverse? What's your opinion on that?
So, you know, I have been to tons of Antifa demonstrations. I have been in Black Bloc protests. I think that we do need to be very concerned about fascism and authoritarianism. At the same time, we need a big tent and a big coalition. And I think that if you figure out a way to drive people completely off of it. Now, I don't say you host it on your system. You don't have to federate with them. You don't have to show their content, everything else. But if you say that they can't participate in the internet, I think that that's going to get turned around and used against us. And so I think that as protocols we build, we need to make sure that they are open and that there's a diversity of views. And I think that attempts to win political battles by silencing your opponents is going to turn around and bite us.
Yes. I was wondering, for the definition that you suggest, doesn't the free software definition already include everything? Because the way I see it, all of the social media platforms that are free software have all the things that you propose, while the ones who are not free software do not.
That's a great question. But and the initial first version I said was it has to be free software. You have to have access to the source code. But I think there are platforms and applications that do a pretty good job of meeting these things that are not open source. So if they're not free software, so if you can take your data and you can leave with it and you can interoperate and you get say over it, then you can move from the closed source Reddit or Medium or Substack and move everything out to something that is compatible and is free software. That is enough. And I think that the free software freedoms appeal to us as developers, but they're really weird to non-technical people. So that's kind of why I was like, maybe we need something else.
Doesn't platforms like Substack or Blue Sky, they do not give you the ability to self-govern, because you also can't host it yourself because it's not free software. So I really feel that
free software.
It should be.
Yeah. So Blue Sky is free software, but it's free software the same way that Signal is free software, in that, you know, Signal is free software.
Not really.
But they run all the important bits of it. And so you don't have other fundamental freedoms in it. But then there are things that are not free software, either not, you know, GPL compatible or not even source code, which can meet the needs of users because they can interoperate. So I think that the fundamental core of what we're doing, yes, is based on free software. But I don't want to exclude people just on that, and do find a way to work by attraction.
Okay, I definitely think it would be important to exclude platforms that are not free software.
Thank you for that comment. Yes. We do have a question from the internet.
Okay, question from IRC. Wasn't GDPR supposed to provide us with some of these proposed rights? What's your thoughts on governments governing these rights that you propose? And this is from Where's Alice?
So I think GDPR and, in general, the European project to regulate the internet can actually provide a bunch of these rights. You know, I live in New Zealand, but I'm originally from the United States, and I talked to politicians in the United States about it, and they're enthusiastic, but it's all symbolic. They aren't ever going to actually get regulation adopted around this stuff. I think some of these rights and some of these things are things that should be advocated for incorporating into law. I mean, I think we got a lot of data privacy and a lot of good stuff out of GDPR. And so I think that some of that could be enforced. I think some of the breaking of the control of the app stores as a major controlling of free speech is something that is only going to happen if you have something on the level of the EU forcing it to happen. So yeah, some role of government is important.
That's our time. Thank you, Rabble, for your amazing vision of how we should move forward, and a round of applause for you.
Thank you so much.